You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Had a good visit with Mike Tirico last hour. If you miss any interviews, just go to danpatrick.com. You can listen to them in their entirety. Mike will be on the call Saturday night, Notre Dame versus Clemson. Notre Dame has lost its last 11 games against a top five opponent. That's since 2005. They had a win against Michigan. They've gone 0-5 under Brian Kelly. And the Fighting Irish last win over a number one team overall, 1993 versus Florida State. 7-point underdogs. And I've watched a lot of both Notre Dame and Clemson this year. And I think Notre Dame looks a lot different than they did at the beginning of the year. They run the football well. I think the defense is a lot better than you think. And it really comes down to the quarterbacking play. You're going to have to take some shots, come up with some big plays. But Clemson coming to town, and this is a good test for both of these schools. Find out if Notre Dame belongs in the Final Four and if Clemson is the favorite, with a backup quarterback and being a 7-point favorite. I was told it would be double digits as far as if Trevor Lawrence was there. But DJ Uiagalelei, he is who looked good against BC. It was the defense. I think DJU. That's they need to come up with T-shirts. Just DJU. Yes, Paulie.
We called him RG3 for years. We'd still be calling him RG3. We weren't calling him Robert Griffin III. OBJ.
Yeah.
DJU, especially if he becomes a great quarterback, just makes his life easier, our lives easier.
This weekend on NBC, you got Saturday Night Primetime. It's Clemson, Notre Dame, and then an all-new Saturday Night Live. Sunday, NASCAR crowns a champ in Phoenix. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern. And then it's Breeze versus Brady. Buccaneers, Saints, Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins Football Night in America at 7 Eastern. Chris Collinsworth will be on the call with Al Michaels with that game. Chris will join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Quiet NFL trade deadline. Antonio Brown is active for the game coming up Sunday night. And I went back and looked from 2011 to 2018. Antonio Brown led the NFL in receptions, 821. Receiving yards, just over 11,000. Receiving touchdowns, 74. He's played just one game in the two seasons since then. He had four catches for New England in week two of last year. He would probably be, a rough estimate here, he would have 13,000 yards. He'd probably have 1,000 catches already, and he would probably have maybe 90 touchdowns. If I just looked at his numbers from 2011 to 2018, and I don't know how important the Hall of Fame is for him. I think just getting back and playing football and Tom Brady embracing him, having Antonio Brown stay at his house as he gets ready to make his debut on Sunday night. Antonio Brown is set to meet with the media today, and I don't know if there's anything off limits there. I mean, you start to run down the things. This isn't a second chance. This is like the ninth chance. There's a lot of things that are still in play with Antonio Brown. But Tom Brady wanted him, and Brady's not the only guy. Russell Wilson wanted him. This isn't just Brady wanted him and looks the other way with everything that's gone on with Antonio Brown. There are other teams, including Seattle, reportedly interested in Antonio Brown. But because it's Tom Brady, it feels like when you look at an NFL tweet or Twitter, it's about, you know, how could Brady do this? Brady wants to win. They all want to win. Russell Wilson wants to win. You know, there's a lot of characters. There's a lot of bad guys. You only need him for 3 months. That's it. And maybe you do something with him. You get to a Super Bowl, maybe win a Super Bowl, and then you decide if you want to keep Antonio Brown. But he's done you a favor. You've done him a favor. And then maybe somebody will take a chance on him. There's so many things. I still don't know what happened when he went into the cryotherapy and burned his feet. And then you have lawsuits. There's sexual assault in there. He threw furniture off the balcony. Like, there's so many things involved with it. I think he got into an altercation with a guy who works for a moving company, called the commissioner a racist. I don't know where you start with him. And Tony Dungy was with us yesterday, and he said, look, I'm all for second chances. I'd like to hear some contrition here. I don't know if you're going to hear that with Antonio Brown. Something changed with Antonio Brown. And I have no documentation. I have no sources on this. But when I think back to the hit that Vontaze Burfict laid on him in the Steelers-Bengals game, it just felt like Antonio Brown became a different player. And I wondered for his health. I wondered. Mental health. Like, just get him better as a person. Not, hey, you want to come in and play football? You got to get right. And he went off the rails. And it just felt like, now, maybe there was a lot going on behind the scenes with the Steelers. We know that he was a character inside there. You know, when he's videotaping, you know, a post-game speech by Mike Tomlin, he's not supposed to be doing that. You know, he wants to get his Instagram or Twitter followers or whatever he's doing on social media. And maybe it was just like a perfect storm that it all kind of came together at the same time. And it just felt like he became something different than what we really enjoyed, fell in love with. You're around him. We were around him at the Houston Super Bowl. He came in. He could not be more charismatic. And you kind of fool yourself. You go, man, he's a good guy. But is he? I don't know. I don't want him on my team. I wouldn't. I'm all for second chances. But, you know, if you're a fan of Tampa Bay, what choice do you have here? Like, Paulie was a fan of the Cubs, and they brought in Chapman, Aroldis Chapman, and he had baggage too. Well, what happened? You won a World Series with Chapman as your closer. You'll take it. It's tough. It's tough sometimes when you're a fan of a team and they bring in a guy that you really don't like what he stands for, what he does, what he's done, who he is. But when they go out there and perform, you kind of accept it. Like he's ours. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking at a long timeline of incidents for Antonio Brown. And if you go back to the Steelers days, they start out kind of innocent and self-centered, like promoting stuff. Remember, he did the Facebook Live in the locker room with Coach Tomlin talking in the background. Or then it gets a little weirder when he was on the Raiders last year, you know, 14 months ago. He threatens to retire from the NFL because the league banned his the kind of helmet that he used for 10 years. Yeah. And then he wasn't joking. And the general manager had to get involved, and the coach had to get involved to get him to play football with a different helmet. And then it just ramps up. Week by week, it gets worse. Incidents with moving vans and live streaming, hollering at people on the street, and it just gets drastic.
And he's still got that trial. Is it a sexual?
Civil trial.
Civil trial.
Yeah.
Is that a sexual assault trial, or is it a rape trial?
I think the word being used is sexual assault.
Okay.
And there's domestic violence accusations from Sports Illustrated last year, which made the Patriots release him. He made a debut, you know, with September 15, 2019, 5 catches, 54 yards, and the Patriots win. He's cut 2 days later.
And Brady reportedly was trying to keep him on the team. And look, if Brady can somehow resurrect his career, I'm talking about Antonio Brown, and help him, it's fine. The bigger picture is not that he can still play football. I just want to know if he's right mentally. Because the things that he's doing, some of it might be for attention, but there's other stuff that's involved in this that I think there's some other things at play. Yeah, McLovin.
There was there was some Monday morning quarterback that there's a reason Antonio Brown went to Eastern Michigan. There's a reason he fell the sixth round. Like, people knew the character. That came out, but I'd never heard it until the Raiders.
Central Michigan,
sorry, yeah. Like, he obviously was talented enough to go to a big school and talented enough to go.
Remember when he recorded a conversation that John Gruden, like, Gruden called him, and then he was recording it.
And released it.
Then released it. Now he makes his debut coming up on Sunday night. It's always the guy who's talented who gets the second chance. And a third or fourth or fifth chance. They never go, you know, that guy's not very good, but I want to give him a second chance. Antonio Brown, we'll talk to Chris Collinsworth on how he thinks Tampa will use Antonio Brown. Yeah, he'll join us coming up. I saw this headline. Dr. Fauci expects limited capacity for sporting events deep into 2021. This is via Sports Business Daily. Dr. Fauci said that limited capacities for American sporting events likely will continue deep into next year. He explained that even, quote, if a really good vaccine is developed, mask wearing will continue well into the third or fourth quarter of 2021. Also said that there will be, quote, a graded gradual progression towards normality. Ultimately, when we get this under control, not only at the domestic, but at the global level, we will start to approach what we call normal, Dr. Fauci said. I don't think that it's going to be at a level where people are going to feel like there are no public health measures to be implemented until we get to the end of 2021, at least. Yeah, I think we're in it for at least another year, it feels like. To what degree? Having fans, depending on what sport you play in, is the NBA hindered because you're indoors? Football, outdoor stadiums, how many fans can you have? At what point do we start to expand that a little bit? And I do want to mention what I said at the, I don't know, probably 25 minutes ago. Wisconsin's in a real serious situation where their season could be forfeited. I don't know who's going to be available for the Michigan game. They've already had two games they've missed. They're not going to be factoring in for the national title. But if you have another game that's canceled, then from what I'm told, Wisconsin is running the risk of forfeiting their entire season. And Camp Randall would be used as a hospital because of the spikes in Wisconsin. So that was my source told me that yesterday. And they would get their starting quarterback back. In fact, their first and second string quarterbacks would be back for the Michigan game. We just don't know how many players are going to be available for that game because it's 21 days in the Big Ten. And that goes back to what happened with Trevor Lawrence. It's not 10 days in the ACC. As my source told me, it's 14 days. And that's why Trevor Lawrence will be available to Clemson on Monday. Next Monday is when he'll be available. Yes, Paulie.
If this were the SEC, there would be Monday Night Football, and it'd be Notre Dame versus Clemson on a Monday night. They would have moved that game.
Somehow.
Yes.
Yeah. Somehow we got to play this game on Tuesday afternoon.
Somehow the stadium's not available.
All right, McLevin, what kind of poll question do you have for me?
Yeah, we put up Paulie's special. Would you rather have the best quarterback in the league or the number 27 pick? 84% said the best quarterback. I feel like that question is an oversimplification, though.
Isn't that what it should be, though? If you're the Packers, do you, again, I know I bring up the Packers every time, but if you're the Seahawks or the Packers, do you care what helps you get a title this year and won't help you get a title in 3 years?
What am I giving up?
A first, okay.
Okay, I got to give up a first rounder.
I'm cool with
it. I have to have a new contract?
Not this year.
And well, then I definitely bring in Stephon Gilmore for a second round, late first round pick. If I'm Kansas City.
I don't think they need him as bad as the Packers would.
Oh, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I want to keep him away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm Kansas City and I can get that guy who I don't want to face in the playoffs.
And their pick is going to be the 31st pick in the draft or around there.
Yeah. Yes, Seton.
I think in the moment you don't care what happens 3 years from now, but 3 years ago the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and the whole talk this year is how did you guys blow up this whole team? You completely screwed everything up making these moves. So, I mean, right in the moment, you're like, yeah, we'll take that ring, but then that's only going to last 9 months because then you're going to be wondering why you ruined everything.
But then they didn't use their picks wisely. That's the problem. So they had first-round picks. They just whiffed on their first-round picks. N'Keal Harry's a big whiff there. So I think if I can trade and get Stephon Gilmore and I'm giving up my first-round draft pick, then I've got a guy that I know is good, bordering on great for the next 3 years. Question is, do I want to pay him? You know, these teams would rather draft somebody and then they have them for 4 or 5 years and they have them at a moderate price. Stephon Gilmore is going to cost you, and he's not happy with his contract. Yeah, Paul.
I agree with Seton. Like the Bears trading for Khalil Mack, they give up the entire future for one player. And he is very good, but they've lost a lot of draft capital. I think the Packers are a lot closer than the Bears were. And it's more of a timing play to me than a draft pick play.
Well, you have to know what kind of team you have. Because if you feel like we have one piece that's missing, and it felt like the Patriots knew that. When they got Darrell Revis, they knew, we get him, we're winning the Super Bowl. And it turned out that way. I don't know if you say to Green Bay, you can get Stephon Gilmore. Okay. We still can't stop the run. Seattle? Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, Green Bay doesn't want Gilmore, right? They have a Raheem Mostert problem. Yeah. They basically...
Well, if they don't have to face the Niners, then that's pretty good.
The Seahawks, though, 100% perfect for him, you know? They're going to be in shootouts.
I think the Seahawks have... I think they like their defensive backs.
Yeah. Well, they have the really good player, the Jets guy, Jamal Adams, coming back next week.
Yeah.
So he can cover up for a lot, too.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
But going back to the Packers must look at this NFC and say, we don't have to worry about the NFC East. We don't have to worry about the NFC North. We got to worry about Tampa and Seattle. Those are the really contending teams.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about the Niners anymore. The Rams, not really. You know, the Saints, yes-ish.
Yeah, I don't rule out the Saints. I think they're quietly winning really close games. And you still got Kamara. Thomas is coming back. Defense can be really good. You got Sean Payton. Drew Brees can be really good. Yeah, McLovin.
They got Sanders and Thomas coming back for that big game. It feels like they're playing possum. Why is Michael Thomas not played? You asked Cam Jordan yesterday. I didn't even understand his answer.
He doesn't know, and if he does know, he's not telling me.
He said Michael Thomas will play when Michael Thomas is told to play. What does that mean?
That might be the doctors telling him he can play. It feels like there's two different reasons why. There's something with Michael Thomas and his personality, teammate, and then there's the injured ankle. And I don't know what is fact and fiction. It feels like there's some, I don't know if it's animosity, but Michael Thomas feels like he's angry at somebody within the Saints organization. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Chris Collinsworth. By the way, congratulations to Major League Baseball. If you wanted to hand out the Gold Glove Awards and nobody know that you were doing it, well done. Hey, you know what? We're going to hand them out Tuesday night. Great. Not that we make a big deal of the Gold Gloves, but the only reason why I make a deal of it now is because you really basically said nobody cares about the Gold Glove. This is the hidden ball trick. This is the hidden glove trick. Nothing to see here. By the way, Paulie came to me privately and said, I have an explosive I-team report. And he said it could make our show. Am I quoting you correctly?
It's the report of the year by the I-team. Well, we're cruising to the Emmy with this one.
Wow.
We've been up all night.
When are you going to have this expose?
Checking my sources, I would say 20 minutes.
20 minutes from now. Okay.
No hints, no nothing.
Okay. All right.
There's Glazers all over this one.
Glazer? What about Shefty?
Trying.
What about Shams Charania?
Field Yates is outside
Field
the building.
Field Yates is there. Is it a Woj bomb?
It's that level.
Wow. 20 after the hour. Whew. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Quality sleep is more important than ever. We head into winter. It's a natural immunity booster. And you know what that means, Todd?
What is it?
No, sleep is a natural immunity booster.
You need a lot of hours of sleep, and you need a comfortable bed and mattress to lie on.
Yes, but it helps with energy and recovery.
It does.
You need a great night's sleep, and that will help you fend off all these bad things that are out there.
But you also want to get a good deal on it. You're not going to just spend all kinds of crazy money for it.
No, but this bed is worth it. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. It's a game-changing sleep. I don't know, when I say smart, I'm going to guess summa cum laude, magna cum laude. What were you, Todd, when you cheated?
I was salutatorian. Didn't do much in college.
Veterans Day sale going on. Save $1,000 on a special edition smart bed. Now $1,799 plus exclusive offers for military members for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleepnumber.com/Patrick. And remember, Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I want to make sure I'm quoted correctly with this. This is from a source yesterday. If Wisconsin can't play six games, there's a good chance with the state spiking with COVID cases, they will shut down the season. Camp Randall, a possible field hospital. My source goes on to say they won't have a full roster when they play Michigan, but will have both quarterbacks returning. Their game against Purdue canceled. We don't know what's going to happen. Their game against Nebraska was canceled. And it looks like if one more game is canceled, they might be shutting things down and turning Camp Randall into a possible, this is possible, field hospital. Let's bring in Chris Collinsworth, Sunday Night Football analyst, Pro Football Focus majority owner, the Chris Collinsworth podcast. He'll be with Al Michaels on the call Sunday night, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. It's a big event weekend on NBC. Also, the Breeders' Cup Classic on Friday and Saturday. Clemson-Notre Dame in primetime Saturday night. NASCAR Cup Series Championship on Sunday afternoon. How's morale, Chris?
What up, brother? You started going through Wisconsin and Michigan. I thought I was listening to the election again. I'm like, now, sir, do you do what I do? Do you sit up and like, every election night? I used to love doing this, even though it's during the season and you're a little worn out anyway and the whole thing. But I would love sitting up and watching the whole election night coverage and a little bit of the history of it and everything. And now it's like election month, election week. You know, I don't even know what you call it anymore.
I did not stay up to watch it because I think that it's probably going to be a few days before this is even called. So I just thought no matter what is said tonight or last night, there's no finality to it. I'd rather just wait, let it all spill out, and then sort of slice and dice and consume it after that.
Yeah. Got to say hi to Bobby Knight there. I miss seeing Bobby. He used to come to all the events around town. I got a chance to see him and talk to him a lot. And one of my all-time favorites. So that's some collection you got going on that desk right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got, I just collect everything. What's the greatest piece, the best piece of sports memorabilia you have?
You know which one I kind of like the most is I've got everybody's autograph on the 1980 Olympic hockey team on a picture. You know, the picture of them going crazy at the end of the game. And I always wanted to put, I need to get Al to do a thing where, you know, the call of the game where I can just push a button. I walk by the picture and push a button. Do you believe in miracles? That would be great.
How does Tom Brady incorporate Antonio Brown, or Bruce Arians do this, on such short notice?
I think he's a perfect fit for this team right now. I mean, I'm assuming Antonio Brown is still Antonio Brown. Okay. I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to talk football for a minute. Because the one thing in watching the tape here of Tampa is that they really miss having that inside threat. You know, how many times have we seen Tom Brady with James White or whatever, just one-on-one, you go up on the linebacker, you make a break to the left, you make a break to the right, get him the ball, beautifully accurate thrown pass. And they really don't have that right now. I mean, that's not Ronald Jones's game. It's not Leonard Fournette's game coming out of the backfield. They're a good power running team. This is one of those old school offenses in Tampa, and it's starting to come together. It looks like Tom Brady in New England now. I mean, they don't run a ton of zone stuff. They run more power blocking, downhill, physical. And every week that I watch them, it looks a little bit better than it did the week before. Of course, the play action off of that. But now they even have Mike Evans in the slot with no Chris Godwin. Even Mike Evans is starting to come down and playing in the slot. Gronk is looking better than he was looking a few weeks ago. So all these pieces are coming together. I just think what they're still missing is that middle of the field threat against man-to-man coverage, just that quick change of direction kind of guy. And you know, who's better at that than Antonio Brown? Or at least he was better at that than anybody else.
I also was looking at the offensive line, and I did have questions about that offensive line, but they've been together for the most part this entire season. And if you look at all the injuries to all the other offensive lines around the NFL, I mean, it's kind of remarkable that I think they've only missed a few plays together. And Brady, it feels like, understands, or they understand Brady, just give me this amount of time and we're fine. Like that, that's almost like the blocking scheme. What have you seen?
They're better than that. They really are, because they're physical running the ball. Remember the old play? I bet you I've drawn up this play for Patriots games 1,000 times. The guard pulls out, they have a deep play action pass, and then you hit Gronk over the middle, right? I mean, that's sort of their bread and butter. Well, they're getting back to that now. And they're getting back to that now because they can run the ball effectively. So you're starting to see these guards pulling. I'm starting to see some old counter trays from the Washington Redskins days. It's a very old school. They jumbo a lot. They'll put in Joe Haig is the sixth offensive lineman. But when you start pounding the ball and running the ball with Tom Brady as your quarterback, now you get back to that play action. The guard pulls, linebacker jumps up to try and fill the gap. Here comes Gronk in behind. Here comes Evans. And we have yet to see this offense complete. We have yet to see all the receivers on the field. It's been a really tough year for Gronk. He's not blocking like he used to block because he's got that bad right shoulder. He's just getting creative, turning his shoulder, trying to make blocks and do different things. But I think as you project this team forward, if they can get healthy again, and if this offensive line stays together, I think they could be pretty darn good.
But you know more about Tampa or New Orleans?
A little bit more about Tampa at this point, only because we were getting ready to do Tampa and Vegas. And then we got COVIDed out of that one when Trent Brown got sick. We didn't know if we were going to do the game. And so then they were telling Fred Gadelli, it's like, it's your guy's call. You can stay on that game, but if it gets canceled, we'll give you another game. But you might be calling Carolina from the booth in Las Vegas. I was like, what? with like a day's notice, you know? And I was like, oh, that doesn't seem very smart. So then it got down to, well, where are you going to move the truck? Right. So we're in Vegas. So yeah, we'll take the game in New England. I think it was San Francisco that week, but we couldn't get the truck there. So then it ended up the next closest place was Arizona. Seattle and Arizona, and it ended up being a fantastic game. So once again, the luck of the Irish came through.
He's Chris Collinsworth. He'll be on the call Sunday Night Football, and of course, majority owner, Pro Football Focus, the Chris Collinsworth podcast. Would you trade for a veteran this time of the year if you were Green Bay? And let's say you could get Stephon Gilmore, and it was going to cost you a first-round draft pick.
No, I wouldn't take Stephon, because the reason they're trading him, I think, is that he got hurt. You know, he had something with his knee or whatever. The old buyer beware, right? This time of year, you have to know, why is that guy up on the trading block? And
especially now, with Belichick, too.
Well, and the one thing you know about Belichick is that he will trade them a year too early. So if you're right on the brink and you think you're one player away, maybe I wouldn't mind doing that deal with Belichick. Because there's a lot of GMs and coaches out there, they don't have the 10-year plan anymore, right? They're on the brink of losing their jobs. And I always thought that was one of the weaknesses of the design of having GMs and coaches make all the decisions about the organization, is when these guys start getting on the bubble or start struggling, well, of course I'm going to trade tomorrow's draft choices for today, because I got to keep my job first and foremost. So you always have to watch that a little bit as well as some of these deals come down.
What about J.J. Watt? Does he have value in the open market?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Well, how about a first-round draft pick for J.J. Watt? If you're, like, throw out, you know, anybody who needs help. Like, Green Bay can't stop the run. Like, would Green Bay and you give a late first-round draft pick for J.J. Watt?
That's a really interesting question. I think the ordinary thought would be no, just because he's a little older and has the history of injuries. Second round pick, possibly, if you thought you were really, really right there on the brink of something. I played until I was 30. And it felt like I got to 29 and I was feeling good. I'm still going out dancing and having fun in the clubs and doing all that. I got to 30 and I became an old man. Everything fell apart on me. Everything. I don't know what it was. Now, these guys probably know how to train and take care of their bodies better than I did.
Wait. You were dancing in the club?
Well, yeah, I had my, yeah, my fiance was with me at that time. If you want to be that specific with it. Yeah. But yeah. That's how we used to get loose, man. When after a game, I swear, after a game, this we did it all the time. You know, because you get the lactic acid, you get, you know, you go from, man, I feel great leaving the stadium. Let's go out. We're going to go partying. And then you go sit on the couch. And I used to watch, you know, you guys do your highlights and do all that kind of stuff. And then you get up an hour later and you can't move, right? You're like, ah, you know, you feel like that. So then what do? You go out and you have a cocktail, you start dancing a little bit, and everything gets loose again.
Do you hold a grudge against anybody you played against?
Hold a grudge against anybody I played against. The only guy who really drove me crazy.
But cheap shots. Did anybody take a shot that you just never let go of that?
Frank Minifield called his shot on me. Ooh. And said he was, so I had a big game against Cleveland. I had about 150 yards the first game we played him. Frank Minifield said he was going to knock me out of the second game in the newspaper, right? In the newspaper. Say he's going to knock me out. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, from the first play, I'm going down and taking a 15 yard penalty. I am chopping this guy's legs. I'm clipping him. I'm going to roll up. I'm going to take his ankle in my hands. I'm going to try and snap it. I'm going to do anything I can to kill this guy. I come back and get to the line of scrimmage, and Boomer audibles to a quick screen to me, like a wide receiver screen to me out there. I was like, all right, but I'm going to get your ass next time. You got one play off here. So I come up, and he throws this quick screen, and it's the last thing I remember. It's the last thing I remember. Minifield comes up, and I don't know what he hits me with. I, you know, remember in wrestling, he has a foreign object. I think he had a foreign object in his hand. And I'm out. I am out. And so I'm sitting there. And so they finally like wake me up, and I get up and I can remember running off the field, and I got to the bench, and I'm standing over and I'm on the bench. And all of a sudden I kind of come to whatever. I knew this was the first play of the game. And I come to, and I look up at the scoreboard, and it was like 13, 20, whatever. And I go, oh, good, 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 good. I didn't miss anything. Second quarter. So I stand up and I fall down. Apparently I had fallen back over my ankle and my knee. So I'm completely gone. I don't know what quarter it is. I can't walk. And I still want to go get after Frank Minifield's ass because he said he was going to hurt me, which he did. So, yes, I do hold a grudge about that.
What was his number, 37?
What was his number?
Maybe 31.
I think that might be it.
31.
He and Hanford Dixon. Both good players.
Yeah. But you never – did he? Was it a cheap shot when you saw it, or was it just a great tackle by him?
It was a foreign object. I'm totally convinced. He's not that tough a guy. I've seen him 100 times since then. That's what I tell him. I go, you're not that tough a guy. What did you have in your hand? He picked up one of the batteries, you know, whatever something. They were throwing at us.
Something in there. Yeah. Do you got a good handle on the Steelers?
Yeah, I watched a good bit of that. You know what impressed me most about the Steelers is that they had that game against Tennessee, and I don't know if you watched that one or not, but that was a bloodbath. I mean, they were trying to kill each other out there, right? Mm. So much so that we came back, and on their PFF show, they had me picking the games and all. So I said, I tell you what, I am not picking either the Steelers or Tennessee the week after this game. Teams simply cannot put together back-to-back physical games like what that game was. And I was right about Tennessee. Tennessee came back and they got beat by Cincinnati. Pittsburgh goes into Baltimore, and it's, if anything, bloodier than the one that they had in Tennessee, and just went toe-to-toe for the entire four quarters. I can't tell you how impressed I am with the Pittsburgh Steelers putting two of those games back to back together to stay undefeated. And they're not even close yet on their offense. I mean, I still think offensively they're going to get better. And if they do with the way they're playing defense right now, they're going to be tough.
But also, I remember that bettors would tell me whoever played Seattle the week after they played Seattle always bet against that team when they faced the Legion of Boom. That they
I like that.
Yeah, they were going to get beat up.
I like that. You know, Richard Sherman's on the podcast that I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to do a podcast. And they said, so he said, well, I can get you Richard Sherman as a guest. And I is my way of getting out of the podcast. I said, you get me Richard Sherman every week to do the podcast, I'll do one. They got Richard Sherman, so I'm doing a podcast every week. I don't know how, but he is truly one of the most interesting guys to talk to week in and week out. He's not afraid. He talks about whatever he wants to talk about. It's really been fun.
Yeah, I saw that you were doing that along with Pro Football Focus and then Football Night in America. You're busy.
My life sucks.
It's
fantastic.
Poor guy.
No, it's great. I mean, I really, you know, what if you're going to watch football all day, the idea of talking about football isn't that bad a job, right? I mean, it's actually, I'm taking a break right now from my film study to come in here and talk. So I was thrilled to get a chance to take a break and come see Bobby Knight.
But are you okay with being criticized?
I'm criticized all the time.
I know, but it's still not easy. You know, you can read, Chris, you're great, and then there's one guy saying whatever, and that, you know, one out of ten will stay with you.
Every single week I say something that somebody considers to be the dumbest thing they ever heard in their life. Every week. I mean, do I go looking for it? I don't. Generally, my kids send it to me, right? They cannot wait for whatever I screw up. I had one. I can't even say it because it's like so foul, right? I would feel uncomfortable saying it. But it's also hilarious because it was totally innocent on my part. And by the time that I got home, my kids had made a video of what I said and put it on a loop. And it just ran all day. I'm like, oh, please make it stop, please. And you have no idea. I mean, half the time I leave the stadium, I have absolutely no idea what stupid thing I've said this week. And then you go on like social media and you look at it like, you know, you cover your eyes and you start flipping because you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is that you did this week, but every week it's something.
Good to visit with you. My best to Holly, and we'll be watching Sunday night.
Thank you, man. Anytime. Give me a call.
That's Chris Collinsworth, Sunday Night Football. Got a podcast there with Richard Sherman, and he got in early with Pro Football Focus. We'll take a break. Phone calls coming up next, and the big $500 million question around the NBA. We'll discuss that coming up next hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes. When you get into a Mercedes sedan, coupe, or SUV, it's like getting in with a race car. You get what Mercedes-AMG is all about. Really, no other way to say it. OMG AMG. Visit mbusa.com/AMG. Mercedes-AMG. Driving performance. The I-Team with an explosive report. If you were watching on Peacock during the commercial break, Paulie is going to recap an I-Team report.
And now, we go to the newsroom for an I-Team investigation.
The motto of our news team is,
we don't break news. We sprain it.
Let's go to the newsroom. Paulie?
Dan, we're all aware there's a very famous female chef named Giada De Laurentiis. She's on Cooking Channel.
She just goes by Giada.
Giada. Very famous, world famous, well known, very talented, very smart, very easy on the eyes. She posted yesterday on social media, and she's got a couple million followers. Okay. From Giada De Laurentiis, quote, curious, what kind of recipes and tips do you want to see for Thanksgiving this year? Menus for smaller gatherings? Question mark, easier. She's asking her fan base to respond. And now, you would think people who are foodies would respond, people who cook meals. No, 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 Dan. Todd Fritz responded to Gianni De Laurentiis and said, quote, would love your unique recipe advice for a delicious green bean casserole and how to make a great unique stuffing. My mother-in-law makes very good casserole, but curious how you do it. Thank you, Giada, from Todd Fritz of The Dan Patrick Show.
And if this was a male chef, you would not have reached out, correct?
Definitely not.
Okay.
I do have a little crush on Giada, but that's besides the point. I do want to know how she makes the green
beans. Has Giada reached out to you?
She has not just yet. Okay. I'm not going to be insulted because I'm going to give her like a three-day window.
What
and Thanksgiving's still a few weeks away yet.
What if Giada reaches out and gives you a step-by-step great casserole, green bean casserole with a great unique stuffing? You don't cook.
I would print it out, hand it to my wife and say, can I pick up a couple of the ingredients while you...
If Giada does not respond to you, I want you to make us a great green bean casserole with a unique stuffing.
There's a very good chance she's probably not going to respond to me personally. And then even if she does, it'll probably be the assistant to the assistant to the intern to the assistant.
So this was your opening to flirt with Giada.
Put it out there. She was asking a question.
Okay, but wait.
She's not being phony. She genuinely wants her followers and people that like her to ask her questions. I asked her a question.
Todd, people who cook might reach out to her. You just said your mother-in-law makes a great version of this dish.
Right, because I didn't want her to take it the wrong way that I was like being forward or
But why don't you just have your mother-in-law make the dish?
She does, and she will. But if you Giada can make
Giada.
One, Giada might maybe makes a super fantastic one. Just when I thought that this was the be-all, end-all that my mother-in-law makes, Giada's would probably at least match that.
Were you flirting with her?
I don't know if flirting was the word, because I did say mother-in-law, which means I'm married and I'm taken.
Yeah, but that's...
I am curious if she would respond.
You could tell she must have been terribly disappointed to hear that you were taken and not available.
Let's put it this way. Have I checked many, many times on my phone to see if she's responded?
How do you get to the point where you find out that Giada is open to suggestions about Thanksgiving?
I follow her on Twitter, and it popped up between something from Albert Breer and something for the Broncos. And I'm like, well, she's asking a question. You know, I'm going to answer this question. See what happens.
But your mother-in-law makes this dish.
She makes a very good one, and she's coming up in a few weeks. God bless her. We're looking forward to the green bean casserole. But I still want to see if Giada will respond with her ideas for Thanksgiving treats.
Well, Katy Perry did tweet to the show a couple of years
Anything's
ago.
Anything's possible. It has to be your attitude in life.
Yes. Yes.
It's the last time she's ever recognized us, by the way. Mm. The show exists.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Take the one time.
It was a one and done.
Yeah.
A one-timer. Yes, Paul.
Does the I-team have full green light to reach out to Giada?
Yes,
and her
you
people?
Do.
Thank you.
Yes, you do.
As if we hadn't already.
Yes. Yes, of course.
If you want to see something very entertaining, who Todd Fritz follows on social media is funny.
Oh, I'd rather not.
There'll be like a Pete Thamel. And then 18 local weathercaster women.
Well, nobody knows local news like Todd does. He doesn't know the local news. He knows those who deliver the local news.
Shout out to Jen Bernstein and Rachel Frank on Fox 61 Connecticut. And Carolee Mailin on NBC 30. I'm not shy about it. My wife knows, but I make comments, which is inappropriate and shows my being insecure.
Todd watches the local news with the sound down.
I do. Well, they have the pictures with the weather. I could see the cloud with the rain coming down. I don't need to hear her say a chance of rain tomorrow. I see it on the five-day forecast.
Yeah. That's a great I-team report, Paulie.
Thanks,
well
bud.
Done. Sports Emmy, here we come.
You think she'll respond by Friday at noon? I'm going to give her until Friday, and then I'll feel like she's blowing me off.